Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my life support members. This is Candy Taylor Jeter, aka Single Mama Diva, and I'm here live speaking to you about the power of apology. I have my guest today. Her name is Sheila Quinn Simpson, and she is an author and speaker on a wide variety of issues related to well-being. But today, we will talk with her about her book entitled Apology, The Importance of Saying I'm Sorry, or The Importance and Power of Saying I'm Sorry. I definitely don't want to leave the word power out, because we're going to address how saying I'm sorry can give you the power that you may be looking for. This is a topic that will help us reflect on our life choices that can lead us toward wholeness and healing. So what I would like to do is get right into it, because if you joined us last week, I was speaking with Mark Gibson on the art of relaxation. And I told him that an hour was going to go by really quick. And we did kind of run out of time, and some other things we're going to cover with him. And the same thing is going to happen with Sheila tonight. I can just feel it. So I'm going to open up the line so that she can actually join me. Sheila, are you there?
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Oh, good. Hello to you on this beautiful evening in northern Michigan, anyway.
Yeah, it's beautiful here, too, actually. It was cold, but I got over it. You know, I got over it. And once I heard from my relatives in North Carolina that said it was cool there, too, I didn't feel so bad. So I just wanted to let you know that when I read your book, it took me a long time to read this book. It's not big. It's not a thick book. It's only about 79 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, you have to absorb it, because each paragraph had something very powerful to say in it and something to reflect on. And I would just like to take a moment to thank you for actually sending me the book, because when I saw that you wrote the book, I wanted to get it, but I said, wow, I don't think I'll be able to get a hold of it soon enough. And you sent it directly to me, and you signed it, and I just think it is the most powerful book that I have. And I've written a book, and this, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful books that I own, and I want to thank you for sharing it with us.
Candy, what an endorsement, and I thank you so much. The intention of writing it was to just raise awareness and have people begin thinking of the power they have that perhaps they're not using or have not used. And so I thank you for that lovely compliment.
Yeah. Well, give us a little background information on you and your journey and what led you to come up with this gem.
Well, it's been an interesting journey. The topic of apology had long been on my heart. I would listen to stories of people whose lives could have gone in a different direction if perhaps they'd heard an apology. And I just kept paying attention to that over several years. And I noticed that all the books that seemed to address forgiveness never seemed to touch too much on the subject of apology. And
Okay. There
are TV shows and news magazine articles and books on forgiveness, and
right. Yet
not on apology. So I kept waiting for someone else to do it and decided, I guess it was up to me.
Yeah, very good. Well, I clearly see this being a needed workshop, and, you know, really it's just a wonderful thing, because you could just go so many places in so many directions with this. As I was reading the book, and you use so many examples from politics to family to friends, just all kinds of jobs, just different, you know, working with people in your everyday life. And I wanted to know, basically, when you started to write the book, was it any one particular event that just made you feel like, okay, I got to start today, I got to do this right now? Was it anything in particular?
That's a good question. I think it was, to be a quote a famous book out now, The Tipping Point. I think I just heard one story too many. And I can't even tell you what the story was that I read, but I thought I must do a presentation on this topic. And right after that, a friend asked me to speak at a women's dinner, and she said, "You can talk on anything you want." And I said, "Well, I have this idea that about the importance of apology." And she said, "Great." So I presented the talk, and I realized is the outline for my talk. Actually, each part of the outline could turn into a chapter.
Right.
And so that's kind of how the book evolved. It was one of the busiest years of my life, and very easy to say I have no time to write a book, but it just had to be written. It just flowed from me so easily, and it was a wonderful experience to really get that message out into the world. It seemed like the world was really crying for apology on an international front, on a national front, on a personal front, in so many lives.
Now, I see that you're a big fan of quotes, as I am as well. And I'm looking at a quote here that says, "It's always possible that I'm wrong, but that's never at the top of my list of possibilities." By Ashley Brilliant.
I love Ashley Brilliant.
But under this, you talk about how men often think in terms of winning and losing, which means not admitting any wrongdoing and by no means apologizing. Women, on the other hand, require an apology in order to move on.
And that's a general statement. Yeah, but it tends to ring pretty true that people tend to think of apology, and men particularly, think of it often as a weakness, as a giving in, where a woman, for the most part, needs to hear that for closure in order to move on.
Well, it's funny because I think about that, and we're going to address the issue of gender for a moment here, since that's up in the air. When guys are in a position where they need to apologize, they first go through this logical process to see if you actually deserve the apology. And if they really don't see any logical reason as to why they should apologize, then they will argue their point. And you have to literally kind of make it make sense for them to feel like they need to apologize. Being raised in a home of all girls, mom just tells us, "Well, just say you're sorry." How do you see that play out in some of your, when you've observed certain situations?
Well, I think sometimes we don't apologize because we don't understand what we did that offended someone. And so seeking clarity is always important, asking, "Something changed. I saw a shift in our relationship. Tell me what I did or didn't do." So seeking that understanding is very important, instead of just ignoring it and saying, "Well, something happened. I don't know what it was, but oh well." And then that rift becomes bigger and bigger and wider and deeper. So it's having the courage to try to amend whatever it was that was wrong. and really seek healing. That's that whole power that I try to describe, is that it isn't a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of being defensive. It is a sign of really reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can regret something I did. I can have remorse about it, but that puts the focus on me. And when I think of extending apology, that focus is outward toward the other person and not so much
right.
on me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Now, what if, because there are a lot of questions that are attached to this topic, as you've probably experienced, and when I told people that, you know, we would be talking about this, a lot of people were like, well, what about this and what about that?
Yeah.
What about if some form of disillusionment is attached to the perceptions of others and things like that, even after you've, you know, made amends and said you're sorry and all of that kind of stuff? You know, other people have issues that they have to work through. So
yes.
Sometimes, you know how when you have a craving for something but you don't really know what it is, and so you go get a piece of cake, that doesn't really do it, and you go
mm-hmm.
get some ice cream and that doesn't do it. Sometimes people say, well, I just want them to say they're sorry, and they get the sorry, but they still haven't satisfied the craving for whatever it is that they really want.
And that's true. That can be part of, because it's more than words. It's actions as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can say to you, well, sorry, and you feel
right.
totally empty.
right.
I can say, well, sorry for whatever, and that didn't
mm-hmm.
nurture you either. To really extend a sincere apology and have it be part of action, too. I'm sorry those words came out the way they did. I'm going to be more careful with my words and then try to do that. The classic example, too, is in an abusive situation where a child or a spouse is being abused and they hear the words, maybe, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
but the abuse continues. I mean, that's an empty word, phrase, because the words have to accompany a change of behavior
mm-hmm.
and an intention to change the behavior.
Right. Well, when you see, because, you know, we've all seen it 1,000 times where a couple goes through a divorce, or they go through a rift in their relationship, where someone cheats
mm-hmm.
and that person says that they're sorry and they actually change their behavior to match the I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And the other offended individual can't really bring themselves to come out of the trauma that has
mm-hmm.
happened to them. And you know, it gets a little sticky because
right.
the other person is like, well, I said I was sorry. It's been 5 years. Nothing has happened, and yet I still can't go to the store.
Mm-hmm. Because trust has been damaged.
Because trust has been damaged. Now, what do you do in a case like that?
Well, again, it's each one of our responsibilities to do the best we can. And if it takes
mm-hmm.
more time to heal or rebuild the trust, we need to communicate it. And I know there are so many stories out there that people will say, yeah, but all we can do is the best we can do. And if forgiveness isn't ready yet, we can just forgive in little pieces and smaller ways.
Right.
That's
right.
What we can strive to do instead of hold bitterness and grudge within, which really only burns ourselves. You know, it
mm-hmm.
it really is toxic to ourselves. And when someone apologizes, it doesn't mean that there are no consequences or that
right.
all will be right with the world immediately. It just means I've done what I can do to begin some healing. And what someone will do with my apology is up to them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make everything better overnight, and nor, I mean, it's, we all wish we had rewind buttons.
Right.
And we can only go forward, and it's how we go forward with a healing or with what is toxic to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's, that's choice. People get locked in behaviors, not realizing. One of my favorite cartoons was a person all with long hair sitting in a jail cell. You know, he'd been there, it looked like forever. And the guard says, well, good news and bad news. The good news is you can go free. The bad news is the door's been open the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And that's how we sometimes get caught in our cycles of behavior, is we avoid people or we keep not trusting, even though there is a change of behavior that leads us to hope that things mm-hmm. will be different. But once trust is damaged, it's very, very hard to rebuild it. Very hard.
Right.
And yet it yep. can be rebuilt.
Right.
It just takes some time.
Well, I'm seeing here on page 49 where it says, when something is not your fault, nor under your responsibility, you can choose your words with care. You might wish for something that did not happen. Then say so. I wish you hadn't that you had gotten the job, instead of saying, I'm sorry you didn't get the job. So you kind of teach people not to say I'm sorry about everything.
Right.
But discern what sorry is really for. So basically, I not only learned what the importance and power of saying I'm sorry, but I learned what apology really means and the context in which it is to be used. And some of us use it very loosely and some not enough.
That's so true. And in parenting, you know, we can be the best models to our children of a sincere apology. You know, I really lost my temper. I could have handled that better. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Versus saying, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do your homework. You know.
Right.
Why be sorry about that?
Right.
And it's just using care with the words that we use.
Mm-hmm.
I know we do, you and I had talked earlier on some tips to avoid in saying I'm sorry. And one of the most important, I think, is to not say, but, I'm sorry, but.
Right,
because
right.
Because that just cuts off the apology with defensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't hear the apology. They hear whatever you're going to say after that, but.
Right, and, right.
Instead, we can say, I'm sorry. And I will try better in the future. Or I'm sorry. I know it's going to be hard to forgive me. And just not say that word, but.
Just don't say it. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They tell you that even, you know, if you go to premarital counseling or what have you, they will tell you when you're talking, watch the word but and should. You know.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because everything, you know, that you think should be is not always.
Right.
So, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I thought what was really interesting to me was how meaningful touch is when there is a loss of words, and that was, you know, stated in your book as well, about how a mother and son had gotten into an argument and, you know, they exchanged a touch which said everything that needed, you know, to be said.
Yes.
And elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, actually, that was me and one of our children. We had just, I can't remember, I think he was 12 years old, and we just had had it with each other, you know, and words were said that we just couldn't hear each other. And so he went to bed angry, and I was all flustered. And I thought, wait a minute, Sheila, you're the grown-up here. Come on, you can do better. And so I went into his bedroom, and the lights were all off, and I just quietly held his hand, and he didn't pull away. He hugged my hand back. And we just stayed like that for several minutes, and it was it filled the void of words. You know, it was in this quiet touching of hands. It was, I'm sorry, I know, I could have done better, me too. It'll be a brand new day tomorrow. You know, that all that hopefulness and healing was exchanged in this wonderful 5 minutes of just holding each other's hands. And we did rest well that night and started a brand new day a little bit wiser.
Right, right. And that's usually what happens when both parties are willing to be open to that. That's when apologies, I think, go smoothly, when both parties are open. And sometimes you can kind of hear when one or the other is trying to either use it as bait or use it as something, as a weapon, you know, use the situation as a weapon rather than actually opening up to the situation. Because if someone is really angry, and they're angry about more than what you did and maybe what you did, what straw that broke the camel's back, and they're not done being angry.
Oh, that's for sure, yes.
You know, sometimes the, I'm sorry, you know, I thought we were doing better. I thought things were looking great, you know. Well, they are, but,
they're the
you know, I'm still angry, you know. I'm still angry, you know. And, you know, you just have to just, you know, continue to stay open. But that, I think that's when, you know, and it's real easy, and I'll pay attention to it even within myself. If I'm really frustrated about the day or something that's going on, and you know how you can come in and maybe take it out on the kids or your loved ones, they can clearly see, even though it may hurt them, but they can clearly see that it's not about them.
Right.
But they're still confused, and they say, well, what do I do? You know?
And that's where instead of saying, oh, I've just had a terrible day, or oh, I'm
that was in itself kind of alerts you to the fact of, oh, I'm wanting to be mad about that person cutting me off on the road or, you know, being stuck in this traffic jam. And I wanted an apology from that person that cut me off, and I didn't get it. So now I'm at home, and I'm angry, and I'm taking it out on them. Now, how do you address those issues? Because people do that every day, all day, to people that are the closest to them. You're right here. I didn't get the apology I wanted when I was 12 to 10, however old you were. And you stepped on my foot, or you ignored me, or you didn't call me back, you didn't do something. And I'm just mad, and I'm not ready to not be mad. So your sorry is just making me angrier because it's making me accountable for my misplaced anger.
You know. And again, what we can do is pay attention to our behavior. So that even when we are, quote, out of sorts, we recognize that we are, because then we will have a perspective. It's when we allow the emotions to take charge, we lose perspective, we say things we don't mean, we act in ways we don't want to, and again, all is choice. Maybe we just need to say, I need 3 minutes to myself. I'm going into this room, and I'm going to just breathe. And that way it helps us gain control. My one friend has a saying, I don't know if it's hers originally, but she said she will actually take hold of her thumb with the other hand and literally say, I am getting a hold of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's a visual, but it's tactile, you feel it, and it's a command to yourself to regroup instead of lash out.
Right, right.
And it sounds so good when we're sitting here on a lovely evening talking, but when we're in the midst of something, you know, it's, and again, the whole apology message is about going upstream to our behavior,
right,
so that we're bringing integrity as much as we can in our humanness to really everything we do and every encounter we have, so hopefully we won't have to do something that causes an apology, you know, requirement.
Right, right. That's a very good way of putting it, because I'm also looking at even how you incorporated the politician, which is a whole other arena altogether.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when I wrote the book, it was like energy ahead of time, if you will, because mm-hmm. in these last few years, there has just been a waterfall of incidents of very public and apologies from the sports world to the political world to the church world to, you know, very, very, very public atonement. And
mm-hmm.
Again, people will say, well, they're just apologizing because they got caught.
Right.
That may be. Again, we go back to, if we're living with integrity and good intention, we don't want to cause harm in our relationships and in our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And very often these very public apologies are forced because of lives lived in secret
mm-hmm.
that were causing damage for many, many years.
And don't you kind of feel the energy from the public just rise up? Because everybody wants to hear that apology, not for the people who are involved, but for themselves. So apology is a very valuable commodity. Everybody wants it. You know?
That's very, it's like, a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's like if we see someone who cheated on their wife, and it makes us mad when the wife says, I forgave him, we're moving on. And they actually see them trying to move on, and some couples do very well after they've gone through something. It doesn't always have to be cheating. It can be finances or anything
like
that.
Sure.
But people get angry, I notice, when someone says, I'm sorry. And then everybody says, or the people involved say, okay. You know, it's kind of like that with Tiger Woods and his last incident when he said he was sorry. He's going to counseling. He, you know, he did his little public apology and everything. And then when everyone kind of saw him, you know, back with his wife, some people were very angry, you know. And I was wondering if you noticed that and what you thought about it.
Well, what I think, first of all, is that we do tend to put people on a pedestal and then we're very, very happy to watch them fall and help pull them down. I don't live in anybody else's world, so I can't imagine the struggle they have when something has gone so public and so terribly public. And, you know, I just really pray for the wife and the children and or the partner, whoever it might be, because what's going on beyond what we can even see is unimaginable to me, the hurt and the
okay.
anger and the betrayal, and whether it's finance or whether it's, you know, whatever issue it is that has caused the public apology, I can't read someone else's heart. So a reporter once asked, there were two very public, one was an athlete and one was a senator, happening about the same time. And a reporter said, so which one do you think was more sincere? I thought, I can't judge that.
Exactly.
That's none of my business to judge that.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do is wish people well, send healing energy into this world, and I don't mean that in a coy way. I mean we have energy to use. And you know when you walk into a room and someone's been arguing and you just feel it in the room when you walk in there, and when you walk into another room where there's been laughter or good energy, you feel comfortable and you sort of walk a little taller and more, you know, there's energy that we have that we leave in this world. And so once trust is damaged for whatever reason, that's very, very hard to rebuild. And so sending positive energy and love as much as we can to the source of the harm. I don't have to be best friends with someone that offended me. I can always wish them well.
Exactly.
And that again, is choice. There will be those who say, I could never do that. I wouldn't do that. I have just learned through my life that to not do that only reflects back on me.
Yes, it does.
And so I would rather be about trying to rectify and help than hold my heart closed.
Now, what about this? Go ahead. Oh, I thought you were done.
I was just thinking, it hurts my heart, literally. We don't breathe well when we hold that kind of anger and bias and bitterness, and it really affects us physically. It affects heart, our thinking, our sleeping, our breathing, and it's all intertwined. That's why I use the symbol of a Celtic knot. For those that don't know that, it's an Irish symbol. There are many of them. But it's a knot that you can't see the beginning or the end. It's just all intertwined. And that, to me, symbolizes how what I do affects others. And what I don't do can affect others. And so if I hold on to bitterness and rage, that affects my relationships, which then affects their relationships.
Right.
And it becomes a real ripple effect beyond what we can see and realize. It can hold on for generations.
That's true. That's true. And I don't think people really pay attention to what it does to their bodies, because as a whole, we've learned to become comfortable with stress and pain and strife and resistance and anger, and actually use it as fuel, some admit, to do some of the things that they need to do. And sometimes it's good for an initiation of something, but over a period of time, it sends so many negative signals to the different parts of the body, as you said. I'm looking here where you say, where Winston Churchill says, he has good quotes too, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened. And in beneath that, you talk about the awareness of the need to apologize, just being aware. And that it's uniquely different than regret or remorse. Regret and remorse are feelings within you about your choices and actions or lack thereof. Regret and remorse are intertwined in the past. Apology, though, faces the present and paves the way to a healthier future. What a wonderful way to put that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Because when I think of regret and remorse, it's about looking back, you know, and we can't change backward. We can only influence our present and our future by what we do today.
I just think that's a great way to look at it, because if you approach apology with the mindset that you're going to focus on the future, you don't spend a whole lot of time on the who did what subject.
We
it's
just
like,
own what we need to own. You know, I can't
exactly.
not responsible for someone else's behavior. I'm only responsible for mine, and owning what I might have done that set somebody off, or you know, just maybe I triggered something by the way I said it. One of my favorite stories, I did include it in the book, was a woman who said, you know, I was right in arguing with my daughter about this certain topic. She said, I was right, but it was for the way that I was right that I needed to apologize to my daughter.
I saw that.
And that
yeah.
is so true. You know, we can be very righteous and cut somebody off and dismiss their opinions and treat them rudely without consciously understanding how we're behaving. And
that's true.
It's been very, very wonderful to hear stories. And if any of your listeners would like to share any piece of their story by emailing me or you know.
Well, I have a couple of listeners on if they would like to speak up. Sometimes they are a little silent and just want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And sometimes, you know, you get some listeners that will actually just kind of just take the show away and just run with it, which is good. I actually love that, because a lot of the times it just adds more, you know, more of a perspective. And then you have people in the chat room who come in and just listen, too.
Mm-hmm.
So usually if the listeners want to say something, they'll kind of raise their hand. So those of you who are listening, if a story comes up or if it's a comment or question that you have, feel free. I think you press 1, and then I'll see your hand, and then we will open up the line for you to speak.
Okay.
Until then, I can't really put them on the spot.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
We could go back a little bit to some things to avoid in apologizing. I know we
mm-hmm.
talked about not saying the word but. Some people think it's too late to apologize. And
okay.
In the first,
that, yeah.
first printing of the book, I had said something like the only time it's too late to apologize is after you die. And then the second
right.
printing of the book, I changed that because I thought, who am I to say that somehow there could be healing after death, that maybe someone would have a very vivid dream of someone coming to them and sincerely apologizing now that they've literally seen the light or
right.
They're no longer able to. And so it comes through in a different way. It comes through an experience the person has that somehow brings them healing, even though that person who they wanted to hear it from is no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
So I do encourage people to use the power they have now while they're here and to not ever assume it's too late. I talked to a woman just yesterday who said, I read your book and it helped me to talk with my mom, whom I hadn't talked to in 7 years, and I was able to help her on the last days of her life in this world. That's
wow.
powerful. 7 years of not talking to a parent, for whatever reason, was none of my business to ask.
Right.
But that she had that step forward to help bring grace to her mother's last days of life. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty deep. And a lot of the times, we talk about spouses and, you know, love relationships, but so much goes on just between friends and parents and siblings, you know. people who you don't have that, it's intimate, but it's not, you know, that type of intimacy. It's more of a very close bond. And I think that those tend to be really powerful because we tend to actually be brought up to not share as much with our lovers. You know, we share certain things, but certain things we don't share, you know. And then with our friends and our family members, we tend to share so much more of ourselves. So when they betray us on whatever level, that actually tends to be more detrimental a lot of the time than even the husband, wife, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend thing.
Well, again, and the betrayal of trust is we keep coming back to that, that's what it is. It's I trusted you with myself and my heart and my thoughts, and you didn't honor that, and so that is a divide between us that it's hard to bridge, and yet with time, with new awareness, with grace, with insight, we can still extend some healing at some level. We may not end up best friends.
Right. Well, we have someone who is calling in to speak, and I'm going to open up the line for them. One moment. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
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 Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wanted to mention the importance of forgiving even when the other person has wronged you and they've not asked for forgiveness.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Going through a very painful divorce, I thought because I had been wronged and I had been so wounded that in order for me to release them and forgive them, that they had to ask for forgiveness, and they moved on and I was still dying. So in order for me to heal, I nurtured myself enough to call him and release him and to forgive he and myself for holding on to it for so long.
How brave of you. How very bold and brave.
And it was then that I began to grow and learn more about forgiveness, but for years, I thought that person had to ask for forgiveness in order for me to release them.
Right, and they
had to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
That they had to say that they were sorry, right.
And forgiveness and apology don't always go hand in hand. The forgiveness is a whole different power that we use. And I mention in the book that it's an attitude of heart that says, I deserve to move forward and accept healing from other sources for this pain, hurt, and anger. So you have just nailed it with the courage to say, I'm not going to wait for this any longer. I'm going to forgive and move forward. And the fact that you did that in person and not just think it or write it, you did that in person, kudos to you, woman.
Now tell us, you know, explain to the listeners what the difference of asking for forgiveness as opposed to accepting an apology. If I say, I'm sorry, or if I say, forgive me, What is the difference?
Well, it depends on again, the intention. In extending the apology, it's really asking also for forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
It can be really stated or just in hoping you will.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't even hear that and you desperately want to hear it so that you can feel like you owned what you need to own, you know, you hurt
mm-hmm.
me and I deserve better. If it doesn't come, that doesn't mean healing isn't going to come in other ways. And so you turn
right.
to yourself for the healing that you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
allow it to... I hugged a woman once who said she had prayed and prayed for forgiveness for the person who caused the car accident, but she was still waiting to hear the I'm sorry. And for legal reasons, wasn't hearing it. And
yes.
so I just put my arms around her and said, on behalf of the person who can't say it yet, I am so sorry.
Aww.
And just so she could hear those words.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I just applaud the listener for realizing I can ask for it, I'm not going to get it, so I might as well just move ahead with the forgiveness then.
right.
And I hope you found it very freeing for yourself and healing.
Yeah, she's just listening now. I
okay.
put her. I muted her out, but because there was a little feedback there, and I wanted to hear what you had to say in return. Now, when you talk about the risk, talk about the risk involved, because we've talked about the importance of the power of apology, but what about the risk?
Oh, good question. Well, the risk is that someone wouldn't accept our apology.
Mm-hmm.
The risk is that someone will say it's too late. The risk is that someone will say it's about time. Where were you 2 months ago? The risk is that they will, in our minds, we run through these risks, and that keeps us avoiding moving forward with the apology. And instead, what I encourage people to do is, why are we focusing on the negative possibilities? Why don't we focus on the risk of positive possibilities?
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
the risk becomes perhaps our relationship will be healed. The risk will become
mm-hmm.
maybe they will own what they need to own and apologize to us as well. Maybe the risk will be they will forgive me. And what
right.
will I do with that?
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our nature tends to focus on the fear instead of the positive work that can move forward. And so I would encourage people to, when fear rises up, to say, I see you there. Thank you very much for reminding me you're there. Now just please step over here.
right.
Because the more we try to avoid fear, the bigger it can get. So acknowledge it. Say, this is scary. This makes me afraid. And yet it's a risk worth taking.
Mhm. Yeah, well, I noticed that, like, if someone does something with someone, speaking of fear, if someone has stolen from someone, cheated, lied, whatever, some of the things that we've talked about here, and they say, I'm sorry, you know, I apologize, and I would like for you to accept my apology, and the person says, okay, and the other person is afraid. Well, wait a minute. I was expecting something else. They don't want to eat their food anymore, or they might not want to go to sleep unless they have one eye open. So how do you get over that fear on the other side? Because there's that fear too. You know.
Well, and again, it's about communication and rebuilding trust. And saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, you say it's okay. Is it really okay? Or how can I make restitution? What else can I do that would be helpful to getting things back to not where they were, but to be able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not running with assumption. Maybe timing wasn't right when the person said, I'm sorry, and so they got a kind of a flippant, yeah, okay, response, and the person really needs to think about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just recommend that we be careful of our timing. We don't catch people running out the door and say, oh, by the way, I'm sorry.
You know,
that we say, I really need to talk to you. I have something I want to share with you. And one's a good time, you know. And you plan it. You think about it and not react to it. We are very good at reacting, and that probably is what caused our behavior in the first place. But again, when you ask someone sincerely that you want to have their attention to share your thoughts, it shows respect for their time frame. It gives them time to prepare, to be more accepting or to listen or to just not be caught off guard. And one other thing we were going to share, too, is the not apologizing for someone's feelings. And we hear that quite a lot. I'm sorry you feel that way, but, you know, people are entitled to the way they feel. And to say, you're hurt because I did this, I am so sorry. My intention was not to cut you off or whatever it might be. But not to apologize for someone else's feelings because they are what they are.
Now, what if someone can't really express what they're looking for an apology for? What if it's just a feeling they have? Because you have some people that are very verbal, Sheila. You have some people that express themselves really well. And you have some people that cannot put their feelings into words. And, you know, they just, for whatever reason, say, you know, I don't know what it is, but I just feel this way. Or, you know, I just didn't get a good feeling about that. Or, and it's vague. You know, do you deal with that feeling? Or do you try to search and try to come up with something more tangible? Or what do you do with that? Because that can be very frustrating as well.
Well, certainly if someone doesn't know quite how to apologize in words, verbally, they could do so in gesture.
No, I mean the other person.
Oh, the other person.
Yeah, that's seeking the apology. They can't really put it in words. Like if I come to you and say, you know, Sheila, you know, I just don't know what it was with you yesterday, but, you know, you were a little snappy. And you're like, well, when was I snappy? I don't know. It was just something. I don't really know. But your attitude towards me was just so-and-so, and it made me feel very uncomfortable. And now you're left with just this big blob of what? You don't really know what it is. How do you approach that?
Boy, 20 years ago, I would have had a different answer. From where I am today, I think I would just say, I'm really glad you shared that because it's a start of communication. You could have been avoiding me, you know. But you came and said, something isn't right. It doesn't feel good. I don't know. And so it just would help me pay more closely attention to how am I coming across, you know.
Right.
And 20 years ago, I probably would have said, oh, I'd have hurt feelings or whatever.
Right.
But it's all a journey, and that sounds so trite, I know.
You're right.
What are we learning along this journey from one another, from our experiences, what not to do, what we can do? I know if I could just, I know our time is getting, wow, this hour went very fast.
We only have 5 minutes. Can you believe it?
Oh, my goodness. And
I want to address
for your listeners.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it did, but I want to address the fact that if for no other reason. Your book actually has in the back of it, Guide to a New Beginning.
Yes.
And you give people, in order to begin the process, I'm not going to read all the steps because people need to get the book and actually use it because you have areas back here to write in. So it says, in order to begin the process of apologizing, consider these steps. And you have the steps listed, and you have places where people can write down, and then you say, list three steps you can take to begin, you know, the journey, and then you have little guides for that. And, I mean, I thought it was just, and some people, do you realize that's only a couple of pages long? But do you realize that some people will probably take years to fill that out?
Yeah.
Because you said it's a journey.
Right.
And it is. And this little book is, you know, one thing it did for me was it made me not care as much about not getting an apology, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it made me have more peace about not getting an apology. And it also, I don't know. At first when I read it, I was like, oh, God, you know, apology. And it was very, very heavy for a minute. But then after you read all of the things here that, I mean, it actually aided in forgiveness, even though you say, it's kind of different. It kind of crossed a certain kind of way. And I'm just going to let you have these last couple of minutes here because I just want you to tell people where to go to get your book and maybe your telephone number.
Well, I do want to share just a thought from the book as a final food for thought that I hope is nourishing to your listeners. The focus of this book is not to make you feel guilty or more wounded. My intention is to increase your awareness. And with awareness, there is hope for change, for growth, for renewal. This message is my gift to you. And I hope people will order the book and share it with others. They can order it through me directly at sqsimpson.com.
Mm-hmm.
at Verizon.net, and that's S-Q as in Quinn Simpson at Verizon.net. They can contact me at my toll-free number at 877-780-2588. I have a LinkedIn site at linkedin.com/in/Sheila Simpson, S-H-E-I-L-A-S-I-M-P-S-O-N. And I just want to thank you, Candy, so much. I love that we were connected across the miles a month or so ago when we first met. And I thank you for the work that you're doing in bringing information, education, awareness to your listeners. I hope they always leave feeling refreshed and have some aha moments and bring that energy forward in their circle of influence. You are really accomplishing quite a lot, and I am so happy that I've gotten to know you.
I am, too, and I'm so glad we had a chance to talk hours before this event.
Me, too.
Wonderful conversations and more to come because I told you I wanted us to kind of put our heads together and kind of come up with some things to help people as well. I only have a few seconds. I also wanted to let everybody know that you also have the audio version to this.
Oh, yes.
That they can listen to. And I always end with telling my listeners to reconstruct the world by reconstructing their minds.
Oh.
I know we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a lot to do with it, too, because I went through a slight mind reconstruction when I read your book. And I want to thank you. And to the listening audience, we're going to have Sheila back with us. I'm going to try to set up and actually see us maybe once a month. Until
that
then,
would be fun.
I want everybody to have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Candy. Bye-bye.